So this draws us to the end of Paul's first missionary journey. And this is the route he's been taking. Is that a bit blurred? Is that clear? It's okay. So this is the route he's been taking. So let's just briefly recap what he's been doing. So we're going to zoom in on this area here, on the far east of the Med. So remember, he got sent by the church in Antioch. And he went to Cyprus first, to Paphos, and then he sailed over to Perga, and then to Pisidian Antioch. And remember, at Pisidian Antioch, the other Antioch, they got kicked out of the region. So they moved on to Iconium. And as they were preaching the gospel there in Iconium, they found out that the Jews wanted to kill him. So they moved on again to Lystra. And that's what we saw last week. And of course, in Lystra, they hated the gospel so much that they decided to stone Paul and Barnabas. But the other disciples, the friends there, picked them up, sent them off, and here they are in Derbe. And that's where we are now. What Paul's doing now, he's preaching to the people again. He's not in a synagogue now. He's already stated clearly that the Jews have rejected the gospel. Now he's taking it to the Gentiles. So he preaches the word in Derbe, and then he goes back through all the towns that he's been through, sails back to Antioch, waves goodbye to everyone, back to Antioch, back to the church in Antioch, where he's, this is the church that sent him on that journey, and there he is reporting back everything that's happened. So that is the story where we are. And verse 22 is the key to this. Verse 22. So, well, the second half of verse 21. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Why? Why did they go back through the towns? Verse 22, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Why? Because, he said to them, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Hardship is inevitable as a follower of Christ. It's inevitable. And it sounds scary, and I'm sure for many of us, the first thought when we read that is, well, how can I avoid it? Or is it worth it? Maybe there must be another way. Is there any way to do it without going through hardship? But Paul says that is the route to the kingdom of God. It is through hardships. If we want to be a follower of Christ, we have to go through hardships, because Jesus himself said, the world will hate you on account of me. Therefore, it's always going to be a hostile journey to get to the kingdom of God. But it's worth it. It is completely worth it to get there for what waits us at the kingdom of God. So the question is, how do we cope in a fallen world on our way to the kingdom of God? How do we cope and face hardship on the way there? And what Paul is showing us, and what he's showing the other disciples here, is that the way to do that is to be strengthened and encouraged. To be strengthened and encouraged, and for us to strengthen and encourage others as well. And the good thing about this is that this applies to everyone. Everyone plays their part in this. This is not just a one-person role. So within this strengthening, there's two aspects I want to look at. Two aspects. The first one is to be strengthened spiritually. And this is what Paul and Barnabas were doing. So verse 21 again. They preached the gospel in that city. So they'd already in Derbe, strengthened and encouraged them, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening disciples and encouraged them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. So let's just put this in perspective first. Let's see what Paul and Barnabas are doing. So remember, they're going back through these towns. And these were the towns that rejected them so clearly and so violently in many cases. So in Lystra, then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside, thinking they'd killed him. But he goes back into that town. Then he goes back to Iconium. There was a plot afoot among both the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. Yet Paul's still going back into that environment. So Acts 14 verse 5, and the first one was Acts 14 verse 19. And then Acts 13 verse 15, back at Antioch. This is the smaller Antioch. But the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So why are they going back through these places of hostility? Why do that? Well, the answer is in there, isn't it? If they attack the apostles, if that's how they treat the apostles, how are they going to treat the disciples there as well? Therefore, the disciples need strengthening. The disciples need to be reminded of the gospel message so that they can stand firm, true to the faith. The disciples in all these towns need to be so sure of what they've heard from Paul that any argument that comes against them, they can defend it with God's words. That's the spiritual attack. That's why they need strengthening spiritually. And they need to be strengthened spiritually because they will come under physical attack as well. And it's so vital that these disciples, if they want to remain true to the faith and reach God's kingdom, that they stand firm and that nothing will budge them, because everything will be thrown at them. Strengthened so they won't give up. Strengthened so they don't abandon the faith. That's what Paul's doing, verse 22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Don't compromise it. Don't water it down. Don't avoid it. So you need strengthening to do that. I wonder what is most frightening for you in terms of following Christ. Is it physical violence or spiritual violence? Which one scares you the most? Someone coming to you with such a comprehensive argument against the gospel. Are you more scared of that, of being able to defend that, maybe in a public realm? Or are you more scared of physical violence? We probably don't have much worry for physical violence at the moment, but certainly we're under spiritual attack, aren't we? And we need to be able to defend our faith to people, to stand firm. These disciples need strengthening. We need strengthening. And that happens spiritually. It also happens practically. This is what else that Paul and Barnabas were doing. Verse 23. So they strengthened them spiritually. Verse 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So individually strengthened spiritually, but collectively strengthened practically in terms of giving them church leaders and structure within their church. And they need that to maintain that spiritual health. Church always needs leaders and direction. But it's got to be leaders who are utterly devoted to helping others and staying true to the faith themselves. That's why Paul did it in such a careful manner. Verse 23. So as they're appointing elders for them in each church, how did they do that? With prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. This is Paul and Barnabas putting their trust in elders that they had appointed. This was done very deliberately and carefully. If there's no leadership, then it's quite easy for something just to run aground, because there's no direction. There's no one steering its path. If there's no one steering its path, then there's no collectiveness either. It's just going to go round in circles. And this is important, because when we do face hardship and difficulty in terms of following Christ, we remember that we don't do it in isolation. We're not just one man islands. That's why we gather together as a church, because we face these things together. Because the things we're facing, the hardships that we're facing, is because we're all together in Christ's body, his church. We're not meant to face trouble and hardship on our own. That's not why God made us. He made that clear right at the start of creation. Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God didn't make us to be on our own. He made us to be together in all sorts of various relationships. We can't do this on our own. And the church is just simply an extension of our biological families. In fact, it's more than that, isn't it? When you look around this room, these are the people that you're going to see in God's kingdom. That's the case with every church, true church. It's here where we are stronger together. So spiritually strengthened and practically strengthened. But both of these mean absolutely nothing if they're not done biblically. It must be done biblically. Strengthened spiritually, biblically done, means to be reminded of God's timeless truths and promises. That's what we're doing. When you're facing hardship and someone's thinking, it's just not worth it, be easy if I just abandon the faith altogether. I can't take this flak, or I can't take this stick at work, or I can't take how my family treated me. Just not worth it. That's when you need someone to remind you through God's words of his truth. Things like this, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Those are the sort of truths you want to hear when you think God's abandoned you. Or when you're not sure that you can actually face hardship. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline." These are the sort of things we need to hear when we're facing hardship. God's Spirit is strong so that we can cope with these. It's not a spirit of fear or timidity. And we can read those things and we might think, well, okay, that sounds nice, but how do I know God's word is true and trustworthy? Well, John chapter 17, verse 17. "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." Hebrews 10, 23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And Proverbs 30, verse 5, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." We want to hear proper biblical truths. Truths that we know we can trust. Not unbiblical nonsense that you might hear in some of those churches that espound the wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel. Things like, well, don't worry, God's just going to give you wealth. Well, none of that rubbish. Don't worry, God is going to give you health. He's going to take all your ailments away from you. None of that rubbish. God is going to give you a trouble-free life, a secure life. It's like living in a gated community. Those aren't biblical truths. That's not how we're strengthened, by lying to people. We need to be reminded of God's truths and where they come from, so we can stay true to the faith. Verse 23. Verse 22. "Strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith." Not true to the false gospel, true to the real gospel. So if we want to be strengthened spiritually, it's got to be done biblically. No substance, no relationship, no experience can substitute for the strength that we get from God's unchangeable word. And likewise, we need to be strengthened practically, as the Bible teaches us. For a church that's going to be an environment that strengthens and maintains disciples, it must be biblical. Which means its leaders must be biblical. They must walk in line with the Bible, teach as the Bible, and have that leadership validated as well. Do you see how Paul appointed these leaders? In verse 23, prayer and fasting, committing them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust in. So these leaders were tested and validated and commended by the apostles. It's got to be done biblically. It's all about encouragement. Well, encouraging's got two aspects to it as well. So as we encourage each other, as Paul and Barnabas were encouraging them, the first thing we notice is that they encouraged each other first. Verse 22, we see strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. So how are the apostles doing it? How are they encouraging them? Well, we've seen they're going back through the towns. What sort of things might they have been saying to them? So Luke doesn't record that for us. But I'm sure it would have been things like, well, guys, do you know you're not the only ones who have come to faith? We saw loads come to faith in Antioch and Lystra and Iconium and Derbe, wherever they were. You're not on your own. And you, even though you will suffer, you won't suffer on your own either. You're not the only ones. And it's so important that we do encourage and remind ourselves. That's why we remind ourselves that we're part of a global church. We're not the only ones here. And likewise, when they got back to Antioch, got back to their sending church, what did they do? Verse 27. On arriving there at their sending church, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So even in the big sending church, they need encouraging too. So Paul and Barnabas arrive and say, look, let me tell you how God is still alive and active in the world. Look at all the disciples that have come to faith in him in all these different places. What good news that is. God is alive and active in his world. And let me encourage you, big sending rich church, because the hardships that they face, you will face too. The size of your church and how much wealth is in the church is not going to prevent you from being under the strain of hardship. Let me encourage you too that what they face, you will face, but we all face it together. That's why it's so important that we encourage each other. And one of the ways that we can do that is just by simply keeping in touch with people. Just by noticing when people are missing. If someone's missed church or they're away, a quick phone call, is everything okay, how are you doing, we missed you. Just phoning to encourage them. And one of the good ways that we can do that is I'm going to put this contact sheet at the back. And if you're happy to do that, so put down your contact details. So, and what we'll do, and if you're happy to sign it, that you're willing to have this shared, so we'll put this at the back. If everyone wants to put their details down, we can share that with the whole church. So everyone has everyone's contact details. And that's how we can continually encourage each other. Just by sharing our contact details and encouraging each other to keep in touch and notice when we're missing. And likewise in home groups. Home groups is a great way to encourage each other in the prayer meetings. That's how we share things. But of course, most of all, is when we gather as a church. That's one of the fundamental ways in which we encourage each other. That's literally what church means. The word ecclesia in the Greek, and the same in the Hebrew, literally means a gathering or assembly. That's what church is a gathering of God's people. And as we gather, we encourage each other in the process. That's why it's so important. That's why it's not an option. And that's why the writer in Hebrews commands us to keep gathering together. So we encourage each other, but we also encourage our church leaders as well. This is really important. Because this is how the church family works, as a whole family. Everyone helping everyone. So we see verse 28, that Paul and Barnabas arrived back into Antioch. Why have they gone back to Antioch? Verse 28. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Why do you think they were doing that? Why were they staying there a long time? I mean, they've just gone round half the Mediterranean, strengthening and encouraging others. Why have they gone back to Antioch to stay there a long time? Well, because they need strengthening and encouraging themselves. They need the care of the whole church family to help them recharge their batteries. After all, these are apostles. They're not superhuman. They've just been stoned and left for dead in one of the places. And it was the disciples there who picked them up and strengthened them and encouraged them. It's a whole family effort. And when we encourage each other, it actually serves to encourage ourselves as well. And that's why we do it regularly, consistently and regularly. In fact, both of these things are interchangeable. When we strengthen spiritually and practically, we do it biblically. And when we encourage each other and our leaders, we do it biblically. And when we strengthen spiritually and practically each other, we do it regularly. And when we encourage each other and our leaders, we do it regularly. Regularly and biblically. And this is the example that the apostles were laying down for us. This is the start of the New Testament church. So remember, this is primarily what they were doing. So Paul had gone to Perga, and they stayed there a long time to preach and strengthen and encourage the disciples, Acts 13. Then they went to Pisidian Antioch, and they stayed there a long time to preach and strengthen and encourage the disciples. And at Iconium, they did the same thing. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there. And in Lystra and Derbe too. Strengthened and encouraged them. And then went back through those towns to do it all again. Regularly and biblically strengthening and encouraging. And likewise, back to Antioch to do exactly the same thing. Because it doesn't just stop there, does it? With Paul and Barnabas, specifically Paul. So this is Paul's first and second missionary trips. And what we're going to do now with the girls, I'm going to bring you up, we're going to see now how Paul lays down this example of regularly strengthening and encouraging the disciples. What we're going to do, we're going to zoom in on this area. This is Paul's last missionary trip. So Paul has laid down this example of regularly strengthening and encouraging disciples. So these are all the letters that he's wrote, the Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, Corinthians. This is the bulk of the New Testament. This is Paul regularly strengthening and encouraging the disciples. Biblically and regularly. That's why it's so important. Never just a one-time thing. Never a one-time thing. Why again? Why again is this so important? Let's just remind ourselves in verse 22. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We. Paul didn't say, he wasn't talking about just Paul and Barnabas. He's talking to the disciples. You and me will go through many hardships, not just one, and not just one of us. We all go through this. For what purpose? Verse 22, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. What is waiting for us there? What is waiting for us at the kingdom of God? But the King of Kings. This is what we sang our first song, King of Kings, Jesus is the one waiting for us once we've gone through these hardships. Jesus is the one who went through unbelievable hardship just to create that route for us to be with him in his kingdom. He went through immense hardship to secure the path that we can find him, a path that we could never find on our own, let alone manage. His hardship was a consequence of our sin. And what happens is that our hardships become the joy of following him. And we know from the biblical truths that it is so worth it because he is waiting there for us. In the meantime, though, we strengthen each other practically and spiritually, and we do that biblically, and we encourage each other and our leaders. We do that regularly and biblically, because that's what it means to follow him into heaven. Let me pray. Lord, on the face of it, it seems scary to know that hardship awaits us. To be a follower of you, Lord, means to endure a hostile world, a world that doesn't want to know you and rejects us because we know you. But Lord, that we see that to know you means to have eternal life and to live with you forever, Lord, and we know that that far outweighs anything that we experience in our life here, Lord. And Lord, we know that you don't abandon us, that you strengthen and encourage us through your church family, through the various church leaders that you've appointed over us, and through all the people that we meet together with, Lord. And Lord, help us to strengthen and encourage each other regularly and biblically, Lord. Help us to build each other up so that we are equipped to face hardship. And help us, Lord, to focus through those hardships on what awaits us at the end. Amen. So we're going to have our last